was going to say to you, when you first came over to Raith Rovers, did you ever think it was possible that you would get to Celtic Rangers, or was it just a dream?
I never even thought I'd be a professional footballer, man. No. You know, I didn't have that thing because people who know Marvin Andrews, I'm not gifted technically. I'm not technically a gifted footballer. I'm not the top pass and I can make a 40-yard pass and technical and dribble. No, I'm not technically good. But one thing people recognize with Marvin Andrews is that I have heart. You understand? You tell me to do a job, I would do it at the best of my ability, and that is what I had with me. And obviously having God on my side helped me a lot. Obviously it helped me to be more confident in myself, more confident in my ability that God has given to me. And as time go along, I started to gain more and more confidence, training hard, working hard with managers, teaching me to be a better center half. Obviously to be, coached by Alec McLeish, was one of the top center half. He taught me a lot of things as well. Terry Butcher. He taught me a lot at Raith Rovers as well. So I learned from good people, uh-huh. and how to be a top centre half, and I just picked up on these things and I placed it help in my work, and I developed to be a good centre half at the end of the day. But when you ask me that when I was younger, no. I just thought I'd be in Trinidad and Tobago working at the Caribbean, playing football part time, just a little. Getting my suntan in Trinidad.
You can still do that on Kirkcaldy Beach now.
No chance.
So you're talking about that confidence. See, when you went into Rangers, were you confident straight away, or was it tough with the big characters?
It was tough. The reason why it was tough, because from the get-go, many Rangers fans believe Marvin Andrews now. I'm not Rangers quality. Many fans didn't believe that I was good enough to play for the Glasgow Rangers. Yes, I was a good centre-half. I played with Raith Rovers, Livingston. But Rangers, you're talking about Glasgow Rangers. Rangers, when you look at Glasgow Rangers, they buy the best. Top players in Europe, top European players, the type of players that played with Rangers, you're talking top class players. So when you hear Marvin Andrews, nobody knew about Marvin Andrews. Yes, I play a few games at Livingston, at Raith Rovers. I won a CIS Cup at Livingston, and that's about it. I didn't have the pedigree to be a Rangers football player. So it's from the get-go, a lot of fans didn't believe I would have been good enough. But I went believing and trusting God, believing in my ability that I get my opportunity and chance, I'm going to take it. And that is what happened when I went to Glasgow Rangers.
And how big was the jump in standard for
you? Oh, it was massive. Because I always remember one of my first training session. Alec McLeish was taking the session. I think I made a bad pass or something like that. And he told me, Marv, you're not at Livingston anymore.
Straight away.
Uh-huh. And that just shook me right away. I was like, yeah.
I need to be on it here.
Yeah, I need to be on it here.
And would the players be the same?
The same, yeah.
What everything, sort of Barry Ferguson?
Barry left. Right. He had left to go to Blackburn already
okay.
at that time. You understand? So you had the new players. You had Big Dado. Nacho just came in.
Alec Ray
just came in. Obviously, you had Fernando Rixon. You had Bob Malcolm and... Maurice Ross and all these, a lot of players that were still there as well. So obviously, everybody, the passing is sharper, you need to be controlled pass, movement, awareness, everything is quicker, uh-huh. quicker and more sharper. So, I had to adapt to that as well. And then obviously, when you play at Rangers, playing at Livingston, playing at Raith Rovers, if you play one game and you draw, it's fine.
Good result
at Rangers now. So I had to change that mentality that a draw is becomes a defeat. Mm-hmm. So I had to change my mentality that, Marv, there's only one way, is winning. So coming from Livingston, coming from Raith Rovers, where a draw is acceptable, I had to change my attitude and to think that is a loss now. I need to win. Mm-hmm. And that is, I had to transform myself.
Was that hard for you, obviously, being so laid back? Did you need to change your character, your personality,
character,
everything?
To change my character. You had to change the character that you had to be to the point where you have to believe in yourself that I belong at Rangers Football Club. If not...
You've no chance.
You have no chance. Mm-hmm. Because Rangers Football Club, as I said, it's only till I played for Glasgow Rangers I knew it's no longer a club, it's an institution. Mm-hmm. I used to think, just a football club, few supporters in Scotland. But when you look at it, there are supporters worldwide that people support Glasgow Rangers. And so when I you know, realize that, Mahav, you can't make no mistakes here. Your mistakes level have to be much smaller. Yes, we are human beings. We will make mistakes in games, which is only part of human error. But your mistake level can be as how it used to be at Livingston or at Red Rovers. It needs to be much, much smaller. Yeah.
Was there any players there that really helped you settling?
Well, I learned from a lot. You know, you watch like Bob Malcolm and these guys who were there for many, many years. They come to the youth level. Obviously, you had Fernando Rickson. Big Dad was a brilliant guy as well, you know. So it was, you know, well, I looked at these guys because I know some of them played top professional. They played with the national team and they played in Europe and all this different stuff. And I never achieved those things. So so it was good to, you know, to look at some of them. And
would there be chance for you and stuff like that now? Or was it just get on with yourself?
Yeah, just get on with it. Because that is the thing about Rangers. You see, when you play, when you transform from one club to a big club, everybody believes that once you come to that big club, you know how to play football. Nobody needs to teach you to play football anymore. You understand?
Yeah, there's no help.
There's
anymore,
no helping.
Yeah.
You need to be able to do the thing, the job. Yeah. You understand? Because there's no reason why you're here if you can do the job. So there's no about somebody helping you and holding your hand and stuff. No, it's not that. You need to be wise enough that you pick up quickly, realize the environment you're in, or else you'll be swallowed up.
Yeah. And you mentioned Alex McLeish. What was his main qualities as a manager?
For you to, you know, he had that spirit of never say die, don't give up, you know, believe in yourself, believe in your ability that would come. You know, even now when you're watching with the national team now in his second spell, he's telling them, believe. Mm-hmm. If you believe in yourself that you can achieve. And he has that same charisma when he was with us, you know, to give us that we can do this, you know, so go out and give your best. Nobody can judge you for giving your best, you know, and that is what it was. And then when you learn that, obviously, you're playing for Rangers now, winning is the only option. So your mentality and your character, everything changes. Yeah.
You went for playing at Livingston and 5,000 people. Mm-hmm. How was that feeling when you first ran out at Ibrox in front of 50,000?
50,000. Man, it can be intimidating when things are not going well. Mm-hmm. See, when things are not going well for you at Ibrox, man, you don't want to play. You don't want the ball come close.
Really?
To you. Yeah, you don't want to play, mate, if it's not going well. But when it's going well, you think you're on top of the world. You understand? Things, you're passing well, you're winning 2-0 or 3-0. You know, the fans are buzzing, they're singing and shouting your name. And, you know, and so it has the two sides of it.
Did your family ever come over and watch games?
My dad came over, my brother came over before, but my mum never came over.
What did they think?
They think it was unbelievable. Uh-huh, you know, because we used to think football in Trinidad was a big thing until you came to Europe or you came to Scotland, you see people, how they really support football. And it was a culture shock for my family. Yeah.
That first year with 5 games left, lost to Celtic, mm-hmm. and everyone thought the league was gone and you were a big one for keep believing.
Keep believing.
And I won't ask you about Pastor Joe because I heard you and him made a fortune off his t-shirts. <No. laughs> You get a bit of stick for
that? Where you get some stories from, man?
Oh, mate, I did my research, but other people did my research.
No. Well, obviously that 2004-2005 season, keep believing season, obviously. Because obviously before that, I did my cruciate. Uh-huh. Understand? Obviously, I did my cruciate playing against Dundee. And obviously, people thought my season was over. Obviously, I told them, I'm going to believe God. He's going to heal my cruciate for me. 3 specialists say, Marv, you need to go under the knife or you will not be able to play professional football again. Loads of people told me that, Marv, you know, God works through the doctors too. And, you know, everybody had their opinion. But I prayed, I believe God, that he will heal my knee. I was back in 6 weeks.
God loves you, doesn't he?
He loves all of us. Yeah, I was back in 6 weeks after damaging my cruciate. Obviously, my first game was back against Celtic. That game that we lose, I think, 2-0 at Ibrox. That was my first ever game after damaging my cruciate 6 weeks later. Obviously, Alec McLeish, you know, played me. Obviously, I didn't know where he get the faith to play me because obviously their fear was that my knee can collapse. Because mm-hmm. unstable cruciate means your knee's not stable. That means it can falter or collapse at any time. And that was the fear of the doctors and the specialists and the people at Rangers Football Club for me. So obviously, you know, it was a long story. I had to go through and the doctors and sign a disclaimer to take full responsibility on my actions and stuff and my faith and trusting God. Obviously, yes, we lost that game against Celtic. I played 83 minutes after not playing for 6 weeks. And obviously they interviewed me after that. And then I don't know where it came on from. God inspired me. I just say, it is not over until God says it's over. Keep believing. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, the fans took it. Obviously, the next game after that, Celtic were playing Hibs at Parkhead. And they were beaten 3-0 by Hibs. And they were thinking, what? How is this possible? Then we played Aberdeen up at Aberdeen. Torrential rain. The pitch was horrendous. We went on and we beat them 2-1. You know, I made that assist for one of the goals. For that, no, we beat them 3-1, in fact. I made an assist for Big Dado to score. And then it was back down to 2 points. Then obviously, they keep believing. They just keep growing. Obviously, the next thing I looked, there was a big banner in the stadium. Keep believing behind me. Obviously, we played our last home game. Whoever we played, we beat somebody, I think 2 or 3-0. I played well. I was man of the match. Then obviously the last game of the season, we are away to Hibs and Celtic are away to Motherwell. And then obviously, you know, it boiled long, the game is going. I think early doors, Celtic scored 1-0. The Hibs fans were, you know, chanting, you're not gonna win the league and all this different stuff. And the game just keep going. We came out second half. You know, they say Nacho squad was actually an OG by Ian Murray.
Oh, you're taking it away for Nacho,
yeah? Well, you look at the telly, it tells you that, but obviously he was the last person that kicked the ball as well. So it went in. Well, then obviously we were winning, Celtic were winning. Obviously, they would have won the league anyway. So things were going, I think it was 82nd minute. Mm-hmm. Just heard the Rangers fans going up in a ring.
Mental, huh?
Something has happened. And I'm saying to myself, no, this is not happening. No, and I'm talking to God. I said, God, no, you're not letting this happen. And we're passing the ball, playing. 30 seconds later, fans going up again. So we're thinking. So Alec McLeish is like this. If you watch the video, he's like this. Game is over. Not knowing, Motherwell score again. Uh-huh. And I'm saying, no way, man, this is happening. So in the game now, you have Alec Ray, Barry Ferguson jumping at Alec Ray back, celebrating while the game is going on. I'm saying, guys, y'all are doing. The game is still playing. And if you see, he's jumping, if you watch the video, Barry Ferguson jump on Alec Ray back and he's like this. But the game is still playing. But at that time as well, how it worked out, Hibs just had to be, they didn't, as long as we don't beat Hibs 3-0, they would have been in Europe. So Hibs were happy to just sit behind the ball and we were just passing the ball all about. And obviously people don't, Marvin is not technically good with his feet. So I always remember in the last couple of minutes, they passed the ball back to me. I'm saying, why are you giving me this ball? I just ticked it on my foot, mate, and I shelled it. It ended up to be a great pass for Nacho down the wing. And he tried to took it, and it went out for a throw-in or whatever, and a bike kick. And then obviously the keeper kicked it up. Game was over.
See the lead up to the game that week. How was it nerve-wracking?
It was nerve-wracking. I always remember every day I came in at Murray Park, the guys will ask me, Marv, you sure we're going to win the league? I say, yes, guys. Keep believing.
But the players would
say that. Yeah. Every day I came in, Marv, you sure? You sure the big man is going to give? I say, guys, keep believing. We're winning. Some of them promised to come to my church. I'm still waiting for them.
No, never came.
No, I'm still waiting. I'm still waiting for them. No, Marv, we're going to become believers. If we win this league, I'm going to start praying. I'm going to start believing in God. I say, guys, don't make promises you can't keep. Obviously, you know, but obviously, you know, we went on, we win the league. I'm still waiting for them to come to church.
Were you actually praying to God while the game was?
No, I wasn't actually playing. I was talking to God during the game. Obviously, you wouldn't see that. Because I'm talking under my breath. I'm saying, God, you know, you really let this happen. I'm talking and saying, Lord, thank you. Thank you. I'm thanking God at the same time that, you know, everything is happening. Because all the lead up to that game, obviously, with my crew shirt, damaging my crew shirt where I'm not supposed to be playing, to coming back and playing after a crucial injury, then obviously we have the vote. I've been praying all the time, you know, praying that we can win the league and that me and my crucial will be well and I can be still playing. So I've been praying all the week build up to this. So at that time I was just, you know, just thanking God that, you know, he's making this happening for me. And then obviously after the last whistle, obviously the famous picture of me on my knees, you know, praying and just thanking God for what a fantastic, you know, miracle he has done for me. Not obviously with my knee and then giving Rangers the championship in such a dramatic way. So for me, obviously, it was obviously one of my greatest days in my footballing career, but obviously it all down to God. Uh-huh. Yeah, I can't stress that enough, because there was nothing that we could have done except win our game physically. Mm-hmm. But when you look at the goals that Scott McDonald scored, if people say there is no God, I don't know what to say again. Because his first goal, his back is facing the goal.
And there's no way we Scott is capable of that without God.
What's what I'm saying? Man, if you look at the shot, that ball end up in the top bin. You know? Uh-huh. It couldn't go anywhere else. You know? Uh-huh. If it go any closer to the keeper would save it. You know, top bin. And then the second one, he cut in on his left foot. I don't know if it deflect. It just scoop over uh-huh. and fall in the corner. And I'm seeing it myself. God is amazing.
Definitely God.
Man, God is amazing. Uh-huh. I can't thank God enough.
Uh-huh. How was the celebrations after the game?
Well, it was phenomenal. Obviously, I had to go back to church because we had a Sunday service that night.
Okay.
So my minister came and picked me up.
From the game?
Yeah, from the game. So my minister, Pastor Joe, came and picked me up. And then obviously, you know, we were celebrating in the dressing room. We were singing, "There's no team like Glasgow Rangers." And, you know, we went out and celebrated with the fans and everybody, you know, taking photos with the trophy and all these different things. So my minister came and picked me up because we had a church service. And I always remember, I'm in my minister car. I'm just sitting on quiet, going through the fans. Mate, and one person recognized me in the car. "Hey, it's Marvin. Big Marvin's in there." Oh my gosh, man. They physically lift my minister car up.
Yeah?
And they start shaking it like this. My minister is in there. He's like this.
Shitting himself.
Don't know what's going on. Then fans were lying down in the front of the car saying, "Marv, run over us. We believe."
No way.
Man, I'm telling you, man. There's a photo of me, I don't know if it's somewhere on the internet, where I'm in the sun, because my minister car had a sunroof, as a Honda Civic at that uh-huh. time. Had a sunroof. So I had to come out through the sunroof and say, "Guys, get out of the way." There's a photo with me trying to pat people out of the way. It's a uh-huh. fantastic photo, because all the fans around the car, my head is up here, and I'm trying to tell people, "Get out of the way. Marv, we believe, run over us." And my minister is in the car like this. And he's like, "Marv, what's good?"
Brilliant,
because he's not used to all that. And man, honestly, it took us at least 20 minutes.
To get it.
Just to get out there.
And did you go to the Corinthian that night?
Yeah, because I went to church. Uh-huh. I had with church service. And then I drive back through and met the guys at Corinthian. And was another placement. It wasn't Corinthian at that time. Tiger, sorry.
Yeah, Corinthian, yeah. Tiger.
Corinthian was in that time.
And did you have a few beers that night? Good night?
No, I don't drink.
Oh, do you not drink at all?
No, I just had my orange juice and
good to take it all into
it. Yeah, it was fantastic. Because I think somebody said that, obviously, because I came late after. And then obviously, I think when I walked in the room, made everybody just applaud me, man. It wasn't the greatest feelings of my life.
The players,
all the supporters, their families, and everybody was just, they couldn't believe it, man. They just applauded me for what a fantastic, you know, day that God brought through me for the team. But it was unbelievable.
Brilliant. On to the next season, finished third that year. What was the main mm-hmm. differences in the team?
I think, obviously, we didn't apply ourselves as we should. We thought that obviously with the, you know, with what happened in 2005, we thought we'd just show up the next year and, you know, everything would have just happened. But we forget that we had to work hard just the same way. We had to put in the efforts and the desire and the hunger the same way. And I think we lacked that big in that next season. That's why we didn't succeed in the league. But at the same time, we made it to the last 16 of the Champions League, yeah. You understand? So it shows, you know, in spite it was a difficult, you know, season for us, it was successful on one hand. In Europe, we were the first, you know, British team or Scottish team to make the last 16 of the Champions League.
How did you find the Champions League?
Oh, it's made amazing, mate.
Great
amazing.
Nights.
Great, but as I say, the margin for error It's tiny. I don't even want to say small. It's tiny. Because you, the slightest error you make, goal as a defender. Mm-hmm. You understand? So, and I always remember, as, you know, we played Inter Milan at home. You had a mark. We, Ofemini Martins.
Wow, quite.
And then obviously he's like, you know, the roadrunner. Mm-hmm. And then you have big Adriano.
Wow, what a player.
Striker, uh-huh. Exactly. So I'm marking him for a corner. I always remember their first goal. I'm marking him for a corner. You know, trying to be nice. You know, I'm marking, being, trying to be an honest player. And by the time I look to see the corner, he just shoved me in my chest. I end up inside the goal. It was a boom. I end up inside the goal. By the time I recover to come out of the goal, he's heading the ball in. 1-0. Wow. If you look at, there's a picture with me, I'm diving, trying to get to him. Because he pushed me in the goal, but that is the cleverness at that level. You know, little things. But he did it in a way, it wasn't like from just close by. So he stand up close to me, and right before the ball kicked, wham. See, the referee can see it. I end up in the goal, 1-0.
So that's the differences at the top level.
The cute, they're very, very cute in what they do. You understand? If you're not switched on, you'll get caught up. Because I'm, you know, young center half, you know, trying to make a name for myself in Europe. And by the time I looked away like this to see, he pushed me on my chest. I was in the goal. But obviously, we thanks to Peter Lovenkrantz, get one through, play through, and we made it 1-1. Uh-huh. And obviously, we draw the game, qualify with 7 points. Next day, you know, last 16 of the Champions League.
What was the atmosphere like in the European nights at Ibrox?
Oh my gosh, unbelievable. I think there's a picture, I think there's a photo that they take, I think from above, where they had the, you know, the Rangers flag, and European nights, unreal, man, unreal.
Hairs on there, standing up.
Yeah, hairs, back in neck, or nervous at the same time, you know, all excited, but what a place to play.
Just another thing I want to ask everyone that comes on that plays with Rangers and say, like, a guy from Trinidad, how did you find the Old Firm games?
Man, it's one of the most pressuring games you ever play, in playing football.
Again, is it the week, you know, leading up to the game?
The week leading up to it, you don't need any motivation. Because every time you pick up the papers, there's something about Rangers and Celtic. Everybody's talking about it. Everybody's talking about the game. It's the game that I said, you're either one or the other. Either you're a hero or a villain. It have no room for the middle ground that, no, you're either a hero or villain. Is a very, very thin line between success and failure in an Old Firm game. And if you're not on it, you can be on the losing side. You can be a villain, and it's a very, very high pressure game. I would say it's not a game for the faint-hearted. If you know that you're not strong mentally, you can play Old Firm games. You can, because some of the abuse you get, some of the things you hear people call you, and you know when you're at Parkhead and stuff. Sometimes you're seeing kids. You're 15 times their age, and the things they're saying to you, you're watching them like this. But you can't do nothing. It's just part of the game. But the atmosphere is unreal. Unreal. As I say, I'm you know, I said it and I make it clear, I'm not into all the bigotry stuff and things like that. That is not my place. I think it's obviously terrible for the game. But when it comes to the football side, in supporting your team and singing, it's no better place.
Can you enjoy an Old Firm game?
Oh, you can. Yeah. You can, you know. But as I said, it's when it they take it a bit too far, mm-hmm. You understand? And then somebody get hurt, or somebody is murdered, or somebody is killed. That is when, you know, it messes up. But when you talk about atmosphere, you're dealing with football, supporting your team, singing your team, okay, slagging one another, because it's all part and parcel of it. Mm-hmm. But there comes a line where, okay, football is finished. We are all human beings again. You understand? And that is where I think people struggle. And then you obviously religious stuff comes into it, and bigotry, and then it becomes a whole messy stuff, which I don't agree with. And I keep saying it every time, even when I played with Rangers.
Would the homegrown boys act differently in the dressing room before Old Firm games?
Yeah. In the same way I tell people that, you know, most teams, both teams, everybody do their bit because for the fans. You understand? But in the tunnel and stuff, these guys shaking hands. Hey, how are you doing, mate? It's old last, you know, talking. How's
the
family?
So between the players, it's fine.
Yeah, it's fine. You understand? But when you come out on the pitch, you want to win the game. You know, yes, you may say we are enemies for 90 minutes or whatever, but the players do it okay. You know, so on the pitch, obviously, they're showing their love for the club and the team and stuff, which is which is understandable. But as I said, is when people take it to a different level of where, you know, I want to hurt you because, you know, you're supporting another team and I want to see you dead. And, you know, that is when, for me, I think it, you know, it can spoil the beautiful game of the occasion.
So your departure for Rangers, how did it come about? Well, was it your decision?
Well, yeah, obviously, well, Paul Le Guin came in.
Yeah.
He had a whole different scenario. He had a whole different plan. And obviously he said to me, Marv, you're not part of my plans, which is understandable. It's part of the game. Not every manager will like you and, you know, like your character, the way that you play. And, you know, that was it. And he said to me, Marv, you know, you're free to find another team. Obviously, I prayed about it. I believe that was God's plan for me. I achieved what I needed to achieve at Glasgow Rangers. And obviously, went on, and then I went back to Raith Rovers Football Club after that.
Yeah, so how would you look back at your time at Rangers? Best time of your career?
Well, one of the best time of my career, yeah. The highlight, obviously, Helicopter Sunday. I think, obviously, I don't think people will ever see a day like that probably in Scottish football or even at Rangers. Yes, they'll win more championships. You know, I'm sure that will happen. But that specific one of 2004 or 2005, Helicopter Sunday, I think, generations upon generations. I will grow old in my 100 years and 120 years, and people will be still talking about Helicopter Sunday, generation after generation. Because I think Scottish football, Rangers fans, obviously all over the world, even their newborn, they will hear about Helicopter Sunday. Because I don't think people in general, football fans who they don't support either teams, have never seen a day like that. I think it's fantastic.
You've obviously stayed in Scotland since Rangers. What's kept you here all these years?
I think God is the main reason why I'm still in Scotland. Obviously, I've came here to play football, but I believe that God still has me here for a purpose. I think football was just the vehicle to get me into Scotland, but I think God has a greater plan and purpose for me by, you know, trying to, you know, impact others, help others to realize that no matter what dream you have in life, no matter what walk of life you are in, if you can believe, all things are possible. You know, and with God, all things are possible, as the Bible says. I enjoy inspiring other people. That is one of my passions. I love to see young people aspire and, you know, become something in life than just waste away their lives. So I go to a lot of schools, universities, and, you know, churches and stuff like that, and try to impact people and let them know that, you know, what God has done for me, He can do for you as well. Because I believe every human being on this earth, God has blessed them with a talent and an ability to achieve something great in life. Not everybody can be like Marvin Andrews. Nobody will be like Marvin Andrews, but everybody, God has created you to be who you should be. You know, so I believe that God has me in Scotland still. Yes, I preach in the church, Zion Praise Center in Kirkcaldy at this present time. I'm assistant pastor in that church at this moment in time. So it helps me to tell people about God. If it's one thing I always tell people, even in my time playing, I don't force my belief on any human being. Mm-hmm. That is not my place. But, you know, if you want to hear, I can tell you about God and stuff. But at the end of the day, it's your choice if you want to believe in God or not. So I try to my best to help people to aspire to achieve their dream in life. And that is my main motivation, obviously, to still being in Scotland, telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ, which is most important, and trying to help people to fulfill their dreams and goals in life.
And you're still selling the Keep Believing t-shirts?
No, man, that Keep Believing t-shirt, people tell, listen, we never make that, because me and Pastor Joe, we made shirts, Soccer Warriors, because that same season, Trinidad and Tobago qualified for the World Cup. Uh-huh. See, yeah. That same season after I helped, you know, helped Rangers to win the thing, Trinidad and Tobago, then in November,
just a wee bit about that now.
Yeah, went and qualified for the World Cup. So my minister, we made some Soccer Warriors t-shirts for people. Well, nothing to Keep Believing. All the Keep Believing t-shirts were in Rangers. It was the Rangers. So okay. I didn't make nothing.
All right, big man, I'll let you. So as you say, Trinidad gets to the World Cup that year. Mm-hmm. Disappointed not to be involved?
Yeah, disappointed not obviously playing. Obviously, I wanted to play. But my dream was fulfilled in helping taking Trinidad to the World Cup, because that was a dream I had when I was 13, 14 years of age. As I said, since 1989, when Trinidad failed by losing to America, you know, on November 19th, it was my dream to be part of the team that would take Trinidad and Tobago to their first ever World Cup. I achieved that ultimate dream, obviously, to play with a crowned it off, but obviously, you know, things happen. I was injured 24 hours before the first game. I was you know, in the starting team, but obviously circumstances part of the parcel of the of the job. I get injured. I was fit for the last game, but never get on. I was on the bench, on the squad, but obviously.
But great to be involved.
Not getting to be involved. Well, it's fine. It's fine. I've no qualms about it. My ultimate dream was getting Trinidad, helping getting Trinidad to the World Cup, and that dream has been fulfilled, and that is my ultimate dream that I had as a professional footballer.
Marv, it's been a pleasure, big man.
Pleasure, my man.
Thanks very much.
Thank you, guys.